Pastor Jeff this morning for the words that he is going to proclaim to us, that you have empowered him to proclaim to us, Lord. May they be words that don't come crashing on us, but instead words that will give us strength and hope and comfort, Lord, and healing. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you open up our hearts and our ears to hear what you have to say to us today. Father, in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we're concluding our story in the book of Acts. And if you didn't get to read all of the book, I'd really encourage you to go back and read through it. This morning our theme is shipwrecked and dealing with the storms in life. And I thought in order to talk about that, we needed some contrast. So I want to tell you what happened to me on Thursday. And this was a good day. Many of you know that I like animals. That's my happy place. And our routine is I get up first in the morning and I take the dog out and I get everything set for the day. And I was taking Phoebe, our dog, outside. And as we made out the back porch, I heard crashing coming through the tree. And I look up in the tree and the tree's out our back. And I thought it was like a tree branch falling. And Phoebe stops with me. We're both kind of looking to see this huge bird crashing through the canopy. And I thought, oh, you know, it's probably a turkey vulture. There's a gajillion of them around. And just about 8 feet off the ground, all of a sudden, the wings went out, and it was just... And my eyes got really huge as it barely missed the ground and just kind of scooped up into the sun rays in my neighbor's yard. And then as it tilted, I saw the tail feathers come down, and they were white. It was a bald eagle in my backyard. Come on. I mean, if that doesn't excite you, I'm really sorry. Just humor me. Just humor me for a second. I mean, there was a bald eagle in my backyard. It was like the craziest. And Phoebe, our dog, kind of looked up at me like, and then like back at the yard like, did that really just happen? And so we walk and she does her thing and we come inside and we're like I'm getting everything ready for the day. And generally this dog, she will not do one and two in the same outing. So we go do number one, we come inside, she rings the bell. We have her bell trained, which is pretty cool. And she rings the bell again, which means we got to go out for number two. And so we go back out, and as I round the corner, we go to her spot. There is an 8-point buck standing in the backyard. And that means, so the antlers have 8 points on them, right? So it's this huge deer standing. So Phoebe takes off, like she wants to play. And the deer runs in the woods and like turns around to see if Phoebe's still following her. And Phoebe's just kind of sitting there like, where are you going? We're supposed to be hanging out right now. And then I hear some noise down in my neighbor's yard across the street. And I look down there and there's another 8-point buck walking through her yard. At this point, I'm like, what in the world's going on? And then behind me, I hear some noise. And I turn to look where the eagle was before. And all of a sudden, there's a 6-point buck followed 3 feet behind it by an 8-point buck walking through my neighbor's yard into my yard. And Phoebe's just like, I felt like I was waiting for the seven dwarves to start singing. That's like, and like, you know, the skunk and the rabbit to start like hanging out. Like I felt like I woke up and all of a sudden I was in Snow White's like forest or something. And I mean, just the entire day I was just filled with like, Lord, thank you so much, man. That was just the coolest thing ever. Like just the whole day I was just like, I mean, it wouldn't have mattered. What would have happened that day? Like, there was everything inside of me, like, was like, woohoo! So that's a good day. But if we're honest, you know, sometimes those good days are few and far between. And the good days contrasted by the bad days make the good days seem like they didn't even happen. And so this morning, to contrast that, we're going to look at a not good day. A not good season in the life of our friend, Paul, who we've been following through the book of Acts. And I said this morning our theme is shipwrecked, and we're going to be in Acts chapter 27. If you don't have a Bible, we've provided one in front of you. It's page 909. Hey, just also in front of you, there are sketch pads and notebooks. If you want to take notes, or if you're a doodler or a drawler and you want to draw, like, we'd really encourage you to engage in the arts. We're going to have an art wall in our new section over here, probably starting next week, where you can You can post those if you want to share them with everybody, but however you want to engage this morning, we want you to be able to engage this morning, whatever how God has gifted you. But we're in Acts chapter 27, and we're going to start in verse 13, so I just want to give you the kind of the recap of the first 12 verses here. So Paul, there's a bunch of people who are trying to kill Paul. So last week we talked about how there was a whole group of people that wanted to kill him. And he's going from king to king, leader to leader. He's being passed off from one person to the next because nobody wants to deal with this situation. And so he's just getting passed around. And ultimately, in the end, he appeals to Caesar, which means he's got to take a trip to Rome. And so Paul gets handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belongs to the imperial regiment, and they set sail for Italy. From the beginning, they have a struggle with the weather. I mean, almost from the get-go, there's a struggle. And so we're going to pick the story up here in Acts chapter 27, verse 13. And we're going to read down to verse 20, and then we're going to talk about it this morning. It says, "When a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force, called a nor'easter, swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it, and we were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Claude, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. So the men hoisted it aboard. Then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together, because we were afraid that it was going to run aground on a sandbar on Cyprus. They lowered the sea anchor to let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's anchor, ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of ever being saved." Let's just look at this for a second, because I know right now you're not feeling the warm fuzzies. And they certainly weren't either. So let's just look at this for a second. First, it starts off, they set sail, and there's a gentle wind. And Paul, either through a premonition of God or some just looking at the signs, he felt like something wasn't right and it was going to be bad. That's in the section I didn't read to you. And so he kind of warns them, hey, listen, I don't think this is a good idea. I think we should wait the winter out. And they don't listen to him. And so I want to start by saying, whether you enter the storm yourself by your own volition, like you make the mistake and enter the storm and it starts with your fault, or not, whether the storm comes upon you, the truth is that God is with you in the midst of it. Whether it's an act of your own volition or not, God is with you. And I just want to say that before we keep going. But it says, the winds kind of turned. It turned into hurricane-like, and it translates it for us in the NIV here to northeaster, just so we can understand. Because we, if you live in the Northeast, we experience these on a regular basis, right? But it's really the Euroclidone, which is cyclonic, tempest, northeastern wind that would blow through the Mediterranean. This was very familiar to them, most of the time in the autumn and winter. And so Paul kind of sensed that this was coming. And these guys who, you know, sailed the ships probably should have sensed this too, but they're like, no, we got this. We can sail into this thing. We'll be fine. Well, clearly it was not fine. Unfortunately, they didn't have the Weather Channel, so they didn't know what was coming. It was really, really bad, and they sailed right into it. And so to give you a perspective, I don't know if you can make this out or not. To the right is what is present-day Turkey. In the middle there is present-day Greece, and you see the boot of Italy up there to the left. And this right here is the island of Crete. So they've sailed from Jerusalem down along Turkey. They made it to Crete, so we're starting here. And as they set sail, somewhere in here, all hell breaks loose. That's where they're at. And they're trying to get across over here and up to Italy. And so it continues. The storm took over. There was nothing they could do but ride it out. You ever felt like that before? You're just so overwhelmed by what's going on in your life. You're like, whoa, All right, I got nothing. You're trying, and you're not making any headway. And at one point, they literally ran the ropes underneath the boat, and I don't know how that works. I don't know if you're a ship person with an old school wooden boat like that. I don't know if you've ever tried this before, but somehow they ran ropes underneath it and like tie the ship together. Like, dear Lord Jesus, please let this thing not fall apart. That's the context here. And they threw the cargo over, and eventually they threw the ship's instruments, and that's how they navigated. That's like everything that they needed. They're getting everything off the ship to make it as light as possible so that they wouldn't, you know, hopefully not die. And then it says there was no sun or stars for many days. And this is very important because they didn't have all the instruments that we have now. They would use those with their instruments on their ship to navigate by the sun and the stars so they knew where they were going. And literally, it just didn't even matter. They had no idea what they were heading into. They had no control, and so eventually they gave up, even the hint of being saved. Have you ever felt like that before? You ever felt like, man, there's nothing else left to do? I have had the fortune or misfortune to be in several snow-related accidents in my life. And so I'm not a fan of winter. And why I live in New York, I have no idea, but God does. But I hate driving in the snow. And one time, my kids were hanging out at my sister-in-law's house, and Annette and I were taking a weekend, and we had to go back and pick them up. And the storm came through. We were living in Pennsylvania at the time, and Pennsylvania is hit or miss whether or not like the snow plows are out and they're doing a good job or not. And the storm came through in the morning, and by noon, it was fine where we lived, so we thought, hey, you know, by the time we head out and we get to where we need to go, the roads are going to be fine. And we lived in a little town called Bloomsburg at the time. We were heading up towards Scranton. If any of you ever watched the show The Office, that's where that supposedly took place. And we're heading up towards there and jumped on 84 to cut across the northern part of Pennsylvania that ultimately comes in here to New York. And as soon as we headed east on 84, it was like the snowplow guys took the day off. And my wife was driving because I was too scared to. Because she's tougher than I am. And so we're driving, and like we were in the right-hand lane, and there was kind of like grooves in the right-hand lane, so we could kind of like, we were okay. But we got behind this guy going 30 miles an hour, and we're like, it is going to take us 6 hours to get to the sister-in-law's house. So we watch one by one the people in front of us kind of make their way through the slush into the passing lane and kind of go around them. And it got to our turn, and like it was like we could feel the hatred and anger from the cars behind us, like, you better do it too, you jerks. So Annette was like, do I do it? And I'm like, I don't know. And all of a sudden she moves over and gets into the other lane. And it was like just as soon as we got over there, it was like the worst slush in the world. And as soon as we got into that lane, the back tires just took off going this way. So we're spinning rear first. And I'm like, we're sliding off the road. And I was on the phone with my brother Tim because we were heading to New York to celebrate my mom's birthday. And I'm on the phone with my brother Tim, and he's stuck at the airport because of all this snow that's going on. And in the midst of me talking to him and us sliding off the road, where I have no idea what's going to happen. I had given up all hope. And out of my mouth comes a word that most pastors don't use ever. And we slid into this rock wall and crashed our car. And Annette is crying, and she looks over at me and she goes, seriously? We're about to die and that's what comes out of your mouth? There are times in our lives where we give up all hope. We just do. And we think that there's no option for us. And in the midst of that, all the junk of life just kind of boils to the surface. And the stuff that we're still struggling with and we still need help with, it just all comes to the surface. And oftentimes it looks nothing like God's peace in the midst of the storm. But I want to tell you, the story doesn't end here. the story doesn't end with no hope. Paul gets to share some light in the midst of all this for everybody, and so the story continues. So let's pick it back up in verse 21. We're going to read 21 to 26, and then I'm going to skip a couple verses just for time's sake and jump down to 30. But 21 to 26, and then we'll jump down to 30. It says, "After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, 'Men, you should have taken my advice and not sailed from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves the damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me. And he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" So let's skip down to verse 30. It says, "In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion about the soldiers, 'Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved.' So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. For the last 14 days, he said, 'You have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair on your head.' After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of all of them. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there was 276 of them on board. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea." So it continues here. They hadn't eaten in 14 days. 14 days go by. There was that much turmoil. It seems like they didn't even think about eating because they were afraid. I can't imagine what it's like to be terrified for 14 days, but that's the sense that's going on here. And I love that it starts off, after a long time with no food, Paul says, "You should have taken my advice." So I think this is important and humorous at the same time, right? So Paul's the voice of reason, and I would like to say this act of, "You should have listened to me," came from his hunger. Right? This is not Paul speaking on behalf of God at this point. This is Paul speaking on behalf of not having eaten, not having all his wells full. He says to the people, "You should have listened to me." Despite all that, despite the fact that you didn't listen to me, there's some hope here, guys. There's some hope. Keep your courage up. Only the ship will be destroyed. Not you, only the ship. I think sometimes we want everything to survive. Sometimes the ship's got to go down. I like that it's an angel. I like that there's something supernatural that takes place here. Because in the end, when it does happen for them, they can look back on this and see that God does things that are outside of the norm. It's very clear that there was nothing man did for this to be accomplished. And then, hey, Paul, take courage. This is the encouragement from the angel. Take courage. You still have to stand trial. Just think about that for a second. You're going to survive all this, but you're still going to have to stand trial. And in the midst of that, in the midst of Paul knowing that his life is still at stake, his sole concentration is on the encouragement of the people that he's with. In the midst of his own turmoil, in the midst of this turmoil, his focus is on the people around him. This is very uncommon for man. Generally, in the midst of our own storms, we're not able to help others in their storm because we're so focused on ours. But sometimes when we take the focus off our own storm and help somebody through their storm, our storms seem smaller. Keep courage, guys. We got to run aground on some island. some sailors try to leave in the lifeboat thinking for themselves. This is a selfish act. This happens all the time in the midst of storms. Immediately we go to life preservation. We take our eyes off of everything that's going on and the focus goes inward towards us. And we go to this place of fear. But the key to survival for this whole crew was for them staying together. For them all staying together. I think one of the most favorite things that the enemy does is to make us feel alone and to isolate us from one another. God created us to live in community. We need one another. And so if he can get us separated and focused on self, then he can begin to have his way with us. And he's working on these guys. Hey, listen, just jump in the lifeboat, take off. You don't have to worry about this anymore. But God's plan was bigger, and it had to do with all them staying together. After 14 days, Paul encourages them. Hey, guys, hey, we haven't eaten. Let's eat. And not a single hair in your head is going to be harmed. I mean, that's got to seem like baloney to them at this point. Like, really, not one hair is going to be like, do you understand where we're at, Paul? That's great. But they like the idea of eating, so they dive in. They ate as much as they wanted, and then they threw the grain overboard. Now, understand, this is a huge trust at this point. Everything else has gone overboard. The food was the only thing that was left. And then they chuck that. They've got nothing left. It's death or trusting in God. That's what it's left down to. The promise of hope only benefits those who believe. Hope only comes if you believe in the possibility of that hope. Paul, in this situation, is the voice of reason. And generally, in the midst of storms, we don't hear the voices of reason. We don't hear the voices of encouragement. We don't hear the voices of hope because we're so consumed with our storm. But that doesn't mean that we don't need them, want them, and desire them. I really believe with all my heart, mind, and soul that God wants us to know in the midst of our storm that he's with us. He wants us to know that. I think oftentimes he's crying out to us to help people in the midst of their storm. And we're too busy focusing on the other things to notice that God wants to use us to help somebody in the midst of their pain. And there's a lot of people in the midst of their pain who need and desire a Paul. They need someone to speak through the hurt and the pain and be the voice of reason. And this week I was sitting in my office, and generally I listen to music playing in the background, and I listen to all different kinds of worship, gospel, all different kinds of stuff. And so YouTube has kind of figured out what I like, I guess. And this song came on. It was called the Throne Room Song. And it was about what it must be like when we enter in to the throne room with God. And that God wants us to experience that now. He came to give us eternity, but he came for the kingdom now, too. And he wants to be present with us. And I was studying for this sermon, and the song comes on. I put the sermon away, and I opened back up YouTube, and I'm just watching these people have church, the throne room. And I just began to cry, like, God, I want to experience your throne room right now. And in the midst of that, I began to pray. And God started putting people in my mind to pray for. And I thought, okay, generally when somebody pops in my head, there's a reason for it, especially if it's out of the blue. And I've tried to get in this rhythm when somebody pops in my head out of the blue to reach out to them and just say, hey, listen, I'm praying for you. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I just want you to know that I'm praying for you. And a bunch of people just popped in my head, and I reached out to the first one, and I said, hey, listen, you popped in my head, and I just want you to know I'm praying for you. And it was a buddy of mine who is in leadership in our denomination. He's working on a new sermon series that he's got to do, and nothing was landing right for him. And up comes my prayer. Lord, hey, bud, I'm praying for you that God fills you with power. And he was like, no way, man, I'm in the midst of this. And then I just stopped and I started praying again. And some friends of mine who just lost a loved one a couple weeks ago popped in my head. And generally, when somebody passes away, like the first week or two, we're really good at coming alongside people and loving on them in the midst of their grief. And then after like that 2 week or 3 week mark, kind of the, like the calls and the letters, that stuff starts to fall away. But those of us who have experienced grief, it doesn't go away right away. And it's not like, it's not linear. It doesn't follow like this path. Grief is like buckshot. It's all, you know, you might be angry today and peace tomorrow and sorrow the next day. And I generally try to reach out to people, and all of a sudden they popped in my head and I was like, all right, I got to reach out to them. And so I just sent a text message to this brother and sister, and immediately got a text back from the sister who said, you have no idea how much I needed to hear that today. And then from the brother, he texts me. He didn't have my name in his phone, so he's like, who is this? I'm like, hey, it's Pastor Jeff, and I just wanted you to know I was thinking about you. And he was like, no way. And he sent me an email because he wanted to write out this full book. He said, I was literally, took the day off, and I was walking in the woods, and I was overcome with sorrow. And I was like, God, I just want to know. I just want to know my mom's okay. I just want to know that my mom's with you. And this was my text message. Hey, guys, I'm praying for you. I just get a sense that your mom is smiling from the throne of heaven, dancing with Jesus this morning. If I was all consumed in my Jeff stuff, and I wouldn't stop to listen to that song so the Lord could break me down, so he could speak to my mind amidst all the chaos that's going on, I would have missed that opportunity. And that these amazing people that I love would have missed hearing from God. We need to and must be the voice of Paul for people. God is calling us to speak through the midst of the storm to people in comfort and in pain of what's going on in their lives. And most of us, if we're honest, have had those moments where we've just sat there in the midst of our pain and going, really? Is this? I just need somebody to tell me something good right now. Because if I'm honest, right now it sucks. I just need somebody to speak through. And I think both of these things are going on a regular basis in the life of which we live. Those of us who are experiencing storms and chaos and shipwrecks, and those of which God is calling us to speak some love and some compassion and some truth in the midst of the storm so that people know that they're not alone. And God is such an amazing God that he chose to partner with us in the midst of it. Yeah, he could just, you know, shoot something up in the sky and say, Jeff, I love you. But he's chosen hands and feet to come alongside and say, I love you. And I think a lot of times we miss these opportunities. Story continues. It doesn't end there. It doesn't end with them just chucking stuff overboard. In verse 39, this is what it says. We're going to read the verse 2. It says, when daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow struck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping, but the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and to get to land. The rest were to get on planks or other pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely. Chapter 28, verse 1 says this, once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was rainy and cold. So Paul continues here. Daybreak, they set for the bay, and they ran a ship aground. That bay now is called St. Paul's Bay, off the coast of Malta, if you go there. If they had missed this bay, if they weren't able to make it in this bay, the current would have taken them 200 miles to the coast of Tunisia. So this was it. And if they didn't make this one, if they didn't crash here, you know, they're not going to make it 200 more miles in this ship. They're just not going to, everything is gone from the ship. They're going to die. So the ship breaks apart. They make it to shore. Malta in Latin means refuge, which I just think is hysterical. God provided this refuge for them. The people are nice, invite them to the warm fire. All this with the understanding that God's word never fails. Hey guys, you're going to crash, but it's going to be okay. The ship's going to fall apart, but not a single hair in your head's going to be broken. They're going to be lost. You're going to make it. And I think this is a really hard one for us. I think in the midst of our storms, we're just waiting on the miracle. We're waiting for Malta. We're waiting for the comfort. We're waiting for the rain to stop. But I believe sometimes in the midst of the storm and the shipwreck and the things that are going on, if we're so focused on getting out of it, then we miss the miracles that are happening in the midst of it. We're so focused on get this over with that we miss the pieces right in the midst of it. And I had one of those opportunities a couple years ago. I was working at a church in Pennsylvania, and surprisingly, people that call themselves followers of Christ don't always get along. I know it's hard for people to believe, tongue in cheek. We went through this really rocky period as a church, and it's people were choosing sides, and not much different than when you look on the news, and people that called themselves Christ followers were hating on each other, and it was chaos. And sadness. And I thought, God, will this ever stop? And I was just a young guy in ministry, and I just wanted to stand up and go, this is not how we're supposed to act. Blah! I wanted to scream. And I was given the opportunity to set up like a prayer night. Hey, let's all get together and let's pray. Let's just sit down. Let's take the focus off ourselves, and let's just pray in the midst of all this that's going on. Because if we just keep choosing me, we're not getting anywhere. And so I set up this prayer night, and a buddy of mine named Dave Campbell was driving across the country, and he's a worship guy. He's been all over the world. He's pastoring in Australia now. And he was making his way across the country. I told him what I wanted to do. He's like, hey, man, I'll be there. I'll play some music for you. I was like, sweet. So he shows up, and one thing you need to know about Pennsylvania is 15 minutes early is on time. It's not New York. New York, 2 hours late is on time. In Pennsylvania, 15 minutes early is on time. A half an hour before your event is supposed to start is when most people show up. We're starting at 6 o'clock. By 5:30, nobody's there. By 5:45, nobody's there. By 6 o'clock, not a soul. Nobody. Not one single person. Not elders. Nobody. It's me. And my buddy Dave is standing there, and he goes, well, I guess God sent me for you, Jeff. And he sat down at the piano and he just started playing. And he's a ridiculous musician. If you ever get to meet this guy, he's just ridiculous. He just starts playing. And I was like, oh, that's so good. And then he just opened up the Bible and he just started singing the Bible to me. He opened up Ephesians 1 and he just started singing. You were bought with a price. You were chosen before the foundation of the world. And he just started singing through the scripture. And I kept on hearing, he brought me for you. We're in the middle of this chaos. And I just walked to the middle of the church and I knelt down and I just started praying. And I felt like God said, Jeff, I see you. This is not going to end today. It's going to continue. But I want you to know I'm here. And it came through my buddy Dave. And it didn't end. It got worse before it got better. And I could have just sat there and got angry and pissed that people didn't show up and go, yeah, you call yourselves Christians. I could have stayed in that place. And I would have missed what God was trying to say to me in the midst of that storm. But I see you. I want you. I don't know what your storm is. I don't know if you're in a storm. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're not in a storm. You're in like a happy place. You're in a bald eagle kind of way. Like, maybe that's where you're at. God bless you. But if you're in a storm right now in your life, if you feel like your life's a shipwreck, I want you to hear that you are not alone. God is with you, and he sees you. And so I really feel there's two responses this morning before we take communion together, the first of which is you're not abandoned. You can trust God in the midst of the storm or the shipwreck. You can. Will you let him? We'll have prayer people up here after the service. Maybe you just need to hear. You need to hear a human pray over you on behalf of God that we see you. It may not end today. The storm may not end today. You might walk out those doors, or if you're listening online, it may not end today. But you're not alone. You're not abandoned. Maybe if you are in a good place, you're not in the midst of the storm, you need to simply just sit and ask God, is there somebody that you need me to be the voice of Paul to? Is there somebody in my life or in my sphere that you're asking me to reach out to encourage in the midst of their own storm? God has chosen to use us to bring love and compassion. And if we just focus on the chaos and my, you know, ourselves, we're going to miss this opportunity. So maybe God is calling you to be the voice of Paul to somebody. We're going to take communion in a second, but I just want us to pray into this. And if, like I said, if you need this first one prayed over you, we'll have prayer people up after communion, ready and willing to pray with you. But let me just pray into this right now. Lord, Father, I'm asking right now that you would speak through the noise of whatever's going on in life. Whatever the storm is, I'm asking you to speak through it all. May those who are in the midst of the storm clearly hear you are not alone. The God of the universe sees you and is with you. Holy Spirit, if there's somebody that you're asking us to speak encouragement into, I ask that they'd pop into our heads right now. It could be somebody that we've talked to this week, last week, 2 years ago. Lord, I ask that you would bring them to our minds. And if you want us to be that voice of encouragement, Lord, I ask that you would prompt us to do so. We'd write it down and we'd do it as soon as this service is over, even right now. Help us be the voice of Paul to somebody who needs it. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. As an act of community, I think it's really cool that Paul, in the midst of the storm, sits down and breaks bread and has a meal with them. And the connotation there in the scripture is almost as if he was preparing them for communion in the midst of all this chaos that's going on. So I think it's apropos that this morning is communion morning and that we take communion. And we do this together here at Living Christ Church. Nobody takes communion by themselves. And so let me just give us some instructions. If you're down here on the bottom floor, we ask that you would come through the center aisle. We'll have servers over here and over here. You'll be served the bread first and then the juice. And if you're up in the balcony, we'll have people up there to serve you as well. And we say, please join us in communion. If you're on a faith journey, if you have a relationship with Christ, you're moving towards Christ, we ask that you would participate with us this morning. I don't want us to participate without recognizing Christ. This is not just a piece of cracker and some juice for the sake of it. We need to contemplate what God has done through his son Jesus for us. If you are feeling unworthy this morning, like I am not worthy of God or to participate in this, I would tell you, you are exactly where God wants you. The God of the universe made you worthy because of his son, Jesus Christ. So if you're feeling unworthy, please do not sit out. God has you exactly where he wants you, dependent on him. So when you're ready, I'm going to ask the elders if they would come forward, those serving communion, they would come forward and prepare your hearts. And when you're ready, make your way down the aisle or up top.